And we are back with another episode of the Harris Huddle. This is the 12th episode of the Harris Huddle, and I am your host, Jalen Harris. I am not with my co-host today. You guys just got me solo, but we are back to the Harris Huddle. I just want to say happy holidays. I hope everyone had a great Christmas with their loved ones, and I hope that at the end of this week they have a great New Year, New Year's Eve, and just, you know, start off 2021 really well, you know, good vibes, good life, hopefully no pandemic, but man, that junk is escalating. But I just want to say before we get started off with the episode, if you haven't checked out my social media, it's my Twitter page is @HuddleHarris, that is HuddleHarris, and that is my Twitter page. And then my Instagram for my podcast page is Harris Huddle, or underscore Harris Huddle. That is the underscore HarrisHuddle, and that is my Instagram and Twitter. So go check those two out. If you guys want to leave me some suggestions in the comments or under a tweet or a picture, or not, and for podcast episodes, topics, or hey, what do you think on that? You can at me, tweet at me, DM me, do whatever, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. But as I said, happy holidays. I just hope everyone had a good Christmas and stuff. This has been a crazy year in 2020, so we're just trying to end it all right and hopefully healthy and safe. So we're going to kick it out with this episode with my recent news. It's been a quiet week, sort of, till it got to the weekend, but a quiet week, really, in totality. We start with some somber news. Legendary Celtics head coach and player Casey Jones passes away at age 88. I want to send my regards to his family and family members and friends. He was a great player, great coach, had ended up in the NBA winning 8 rings. And I think 2 of those were as a player, or maybe 2 more as a coach. But 8 in total. And I just want to say blessings to them. And he was a great player and coach. Auburn hires Boise State's Byron Harsin in a wild coaching search. I didn't think Auburn was gonna have a coach for a minute. I mean, they just talking like they're gonna go after Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, or just go after everybody, or just hire a weird assistant from maybe Clemson. And just over the week, you're just hearing or seeing in articles that guys are turning away the job, or I haven't got offered the job. But hey, Boise State coaches, to me, he's a solid guy, so I don't think this is a bad hire, but it's not excellent. Maybe you could have maybe saved Gus Malzahn a year by not firing him and just give him an extra year and a not COVID year, or maybe 2 extra years, and just see how it rolls. But Auburn is not a team that just looks like, hey, we're set for the national championship if we get the right coach. You know, Bo Nix, he's an all right quarterback to me. He just, in the game, he's really struggled in and showing. He just hasn't been that, game changer 5-star quarterback to me. And, you know, I might get some fans or people to come back at me and just be like, hey, he's going to unlock him. I'm not seeing that type of action from Auburn and Bo Nix. But they do have a good defense with Kevin Steele. They always bring that fire on defense and that intensity. That's what keeps them in games, man, to me, because I don't really like those kind of motion offenses where it's just mainly based around the run, or just if you don't get the run, you're gonna lose, or it just looks boring to me. So I'm not really into Auburn. I'm not hating, but I'm gonna just get off my Auburn. It's not a hate train. It's just me personally. So we're going to move on to our next recent news. The Jaguars secured the number 1 overall pick for tanking for Trevor, and the Jets secured the number 2 overall pick by winning their last 2 games. Those 1 and 2 picks are locked in. Man, I know Jaguar fans across the, I'm not even going to say country, Florida. Oh my God. In Florida are happy, are jumping out of their joy, jumping out of their seats, jumping in the pools, yelling on golf courses and nursing homes that they have Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, if you don't know, is a quarterback at Clemson, and he's regarded as one of the best quarterbacks that's come out in the draft in the past decade in the NFL draft, or maybe even 20 years ever since maybe, you know, Peyton or something, or Andrew Luck. So he's that type of player. And teams like the Jaguars and Jets are, we're competing for him. And competing for him, that means losing. But the Jets have struck some fire, have gained some confidence and won their last two games. Meanwhile, the Jaguars are exchanging quarterbacks and putting benching and starting quarterbacks like a spades hand. But our next recent news is the San Diego Padres are trading for former Cy Young winner Blake Snell from Tampa Bay for prospects. Now, San Diego's looks kind of loaded a little bit. I saw a little tweet last night that said they'll have Blake Snell, I think Danny Machado, and some other guys. And I'm not big baseball. I'm trying to get up there, learn. And I only watch one baseball game personally. So I just know winning the Cy Young Award is really important. So, and Blake Snell, I heard of him. He's a really good player. So hopefully the San Diego Padres can do something with trading for him and maybe, you know, get that collection of talents to make a run. But hey, that's our news for the week. And we're going to go to our first topic with our NFL action and plunders. The NFC East, or I should say least, drama continues with Haskins struggling and being benched for, I think it's Taylor Heineke. God. And Washington subsequently lose that game to the Carolina Panthers. The Cowboys winning and eliminating the Eagles from the playoffs. Now, Washington could go to the playoffs with a win over the Eagles next week in Week 17, their last game. The Eagles could, of course, play spoiler. Now, the Giants and Cowboys could go in with a win. I think if they win and Washington loses, if I'm exact. But, yeah, I think if they win and Washington loses, the winner of that game will go to the playoffs. Don't hold me to that. I might be wrong because this playoff thing this year is confusing. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Chase Young from The Ohio State University, Pro Bowler in his first year, and he is dominant, boy. He is special. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Chase Young is a defensive end for the Washington football team, and he is dominant, is a dominant force coming off the edge, screaming, just killing offensive tackles with the speed, with the power. He returning touchdowns, fumbles for touchdowns, looking like Eric Dickerson. But I'm going to just get off my homerism. But Chase Young is dominant, man. And that defense is dominant with Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, and various other players. Daron Payne, Landon Collins is playing. But their defensive backfield, their front seven is just godly, man. They'll eat you up. But I got to get on my Dwayne Haskins rant. I root for Ohio State players, man. I really do. And it pains me to see him struggle. It really does. But Urban Meyer did say when he came out, he was immature. And I didn't think he would be that immature by going to a strip club when you're the starting quarterback. And you stunk up the joint. But you just got to do better, man. You got to be better. I mean, is a strip club really worth it? You know, you only got two, three more weeks left. Or maybe with the playoffs. I mean, you're playing for the playoffs. I mean, what am I saying? You possibly have more weeks left. You got to ignore the strip club. You got to ignore the ones. You got to ignore the strippers, man. You know, I know that song. You might love them strippers, but you can't go. You the starting quarterback for the Washington football team. You really... If Dwayne Haskins ever listens to this, you know, you never know, man. You're playing for your career, bro. Like, because people are calling you a bust. You can be cut. I mean, you're probably going to be picked up, but there's no guarantee, bro. Like, yeah, he made some millions of dollars. Probably more than 95% of this country will ever make. And I don't know if what his situation is like of saving and all that, but you might not ever make that type of money again in your life. You got to play for your career because you got to bounce back if you want to make something with your career. And you can't be doing immature things because that is a stain on your career. Besides playing bad, people would take a chance on you for playing bad. But you can't get stripped of your captainship. You can't be in trouble in the locker room. You can't be fined $40,000. You can't be immature and you play one of the most important positions in the league. You think who you think gonna give you $100 million or $50 million, even $20 million, to represent them? And you doing that? Come on, man! You just gotta be better than that. I'm not trying to kill him. I mean, he's not that much older than me. We all made mistakes, but still, bro. Like, You just got to think of the other things. But like I said, I'm not going to kill my guy. He's still my guy. I love him for Ohio State. Love him what he did. Love all my Ohio State guys. But you just got to be better, man. And on to a choke job by Chucky. The Raiders choking it. Show an incredible no-show of defense in their last two games versus the Miami Dolphins. They lost horribly, man. I was watching this game, sitting on my bed, man, eat some meatballs and macaroni. Don't judge me. So when I was just like, this game is boring, man. This is going to be like a whoever scored last win. And boy, did they prove me right. Last 2 minutes, Raiders go down, score. Miami go back, get them. The Raiders on that last possession, just chunk by chunk, running it. I was like, oh, they're going to run out the clock and just kick a field goal, and this game going to be over. So they get to, like, the one. And Josh Jacobs just falls. He doesn't score. And I'm thinking, okay, this is game. 23 seconds left. Man, Miami ain't going to do nothing. Fitzmagic, they got to go the whole length of the field just to get a field goal. So I'm like, they just play like a little prevent defense, cover four, you know, cover six, whatever, you know, just take every linebacker. You could take three defensive linemen out, just whatever. The game is won, 23 seconds left, as long as you don't do no dumb stuff, and they did dumb stuff. So in the last second of the game, with 23 seconds left, so I told you they didn't go for the touchdown. So it's they're on like the 30 or 20-ish, and they snap the ball. It's a pass, and Ryan Fitzpatrick gets grabbed by the face mask. His neck is horizontal, and he throws it in the air. Miracle pass to Ryan Hollins, streaking down the sideline. The Raiders are playing cover two, which that means the corner has something in the flat, and then he has the flat, and the safety has kind of like the middle of the field. But in that situation like that, the running back, if there's nobody in the flat, you're not supposed to just pass your man off. That is your man. You're supposed to stay with him and pass him off to the safety because it's not really his job. So you're supposed to stay with the receiver. So Damon Arnette, another Ohio State guy, God, it's a bad week for him. He just brushes him off like, hey, that's your job. But that's your man in that situation, bro. They're not running an error route. They're not running a halfback bubble. The halfback is not going to go out for a screen. He's blocking to give time for a Hail Mary pass. You have to be better in that situation. You just have to be better. And the Raiders need a defensive overhaul. And I know John Gruden fired his defensive coordinator, but that's on you, bro. That's on you and the players. I mean, you can't cut Damon Arden. I know he's been playing well. He's just a rookie. But still, that's on them. Maybe play cover three so he doesn't have a headache and think somebody's going to be in the flats. He just takes the third of the field. His man. But John Gruden, your $100 million clock is ticking. If you don't know, John Gruden got paid for 10 years, $100 million. I mean, our clock would be ticking right now. 3 years, you ain't made the playoffs, bro. That wide banana two split ain't working at all. But, I mean, I thought they were going to be decent there in the year. They're going back back and forth with the Chiefs. But it's just the Raiders will Raider. But on to our next game. We talk about the Browns. The Browns lost to the Jets. And I told you the Jets won two games the last 2 weeks. And the Browns were one of those. Yesterday, they lost to the not lifeless Jets. Now, I will give it to the Browns. I'm not going to kill the Browns. They were affected by COVID. They lost all of their receivers except one guy on the active roster. So that means you don't have four or five receivers on your roster to play the game. And they didn't even leave Cleveland until, I think, a day later. Their flight got delayed because, I mean, how you going to play the game? You know, you got one receiver to throw to. Then you got to put the practice squad guys over there that you don't know. It's wild. It's really wild. I'm not going to kill them for that, but I really feel like the Browns should have just stuck to their guns and just ran it. Give Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb 60 carries give them 70. Who cares? Just punish the Jets into submission with your run game if you don't have receivers and just play action off of it. Now, the Jets did come to play with a couple trick plays with Braxton Berrios throwing a touchdown. It was either Braxton Berrios. No, it was a Jameson Crowder throwing a touchdown to Braxton Berrios. And if you don't know who both of those guys are, they're not quarterbacks. Jameson Crowder is a wide receiver. Braxton Berrios is a wide receiver. So they're doing trick plays, any type of trick plays, catching touchdowns on the Browns. Browns had a bad day. And he almost came back, but a fumble from Baker Mayfield in like the last minute really cost the Browns the game because, of course, they recovered it. But Kareem Hunt, the running back, you can't move the ball out there. Fumble, it's just down at that spot. And it was like fourth down. So it sucks to the Browns because they're probably not gonna make the playoffs they can. Their life's on the line next week because they have to beat the Steelers to make it in the playoffs as a wild card or something. But, you know, I give it up to the Browns. That's unfortunate. I really wanted to see what they'll do in the playoffs because I think they're going to be a major team. And hopefully they bring that boom and beat the Steelers next week because I don't think the Steelers are really worth it. Now, I'm going to talk about them in a few minutes, but it's not it. And speaking of the Jets, they have, like I said, won their last two games. They not tanking for Trevor. They said, hey, we want to win. We want the number two overall pick. Now, listen. It looked like they were just going to go 0-17. Just like, hey, we got Trevor Lawrence start over from this year. Sam Darnold struggling. Joe Flacco looking like he just want to do something. I'm just like, Joe Flacco playing better than Sam Darnold? What year is this? 2012? But, man, this got some doubt on my mind, dog. Some doubt on my mind. Because I'm starting to think maybe they should just draft all of us a lineman and just really rebuild or trade up. Because I thought Sam Darnold was like maybe 25, 26. But maybe you should he's only 23. So just maybe build around him. Get him some offensive linemen. Get him some receivers. Get him a running back. Sorry, Frank Gore. You the GOAT. I mean, you're not the GOAT, but you the OG, man, running for all them yards. Should be a Hall of Famer after you retire in a couple years. But we need something new, man. We need something new. We need some more weapons around Sam Darnold. We can't just keep doing it with a bunch of Frank Gores and people that are probably going to be cut by next year. But just rebuild that whole team. So with that, when I say those two options, Penei Sewell is an offensive lineman. Is regarded as the best offensive tackle and offensive lineman in the 2020 in the NFL 2021 draft. So the Jets have offensive line problems and just basic overall team problems. They have so many holes. And then so that's one of the best players at the position. When you had number two overall pick to help your quarterback. So when I do say trade out the pick, there's going to be three quarterbacks selected in the top five. So maybe you get a team that's really itching for Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, and they'd be like, hey, we'll give you two first rounders and two twos. Their second round pick this year and a second round pick next year to move up and get their quarterback of their dreams. So bow. You take those four picks and you just rebuild your team. Well, you take their pick, you swap, and then do the first rounder next year and second rounder and second rounder. You just, hey, that's how you do it. You rebuild your team. Put players around Sam Darnold. They ain't paying nobody, so pay people in free agency, you know, and rebuild the Jets and not be trash. But, hey, I'm not the GM. Maybe I will. But I have another question for y'all. Is this an Adam Gase sabotage job? Because we all know, if you go 0-17 in anything, you're getting fired. You go 0-17 and coming to work, 0-17 and turning in work, going 0-17 in projects, at work, or at school, whatever, you're getting fired, you're getting an F. But could this be a sabotage job? Like, hey, screw you, we're going to win two games and not get the number one overall pick for the next coach. I'm going out with a bang. Bye. See ya. But oh, man, Adam Gase, man. Like Stephen A. said, he looked high in this opening press conference. But, you know, we're going to move on to our next game. The Chiefs clinched home field advantage and a bye in the playoffs with the win over my woolly, sorry, despicable Falcons. As Atlanta Falcons hand, people like laugh and they just laugh at the Falcons still. I mean, at a certain point in the season, I just look forward. Like, I stopped being adjusted to the pain in like week 6 or 7. And I just look forward to the NFL draft. That's Falcons fans. This is my advice. If we look like we're going to suck the rest of the year, just look forward to the draft pick. That's all you got to do. And this is my favorite time of the year. I like the draft. I'll be making mock drafts, guessing what players going to come in the draft. But it's just, I just keep my tunnel vision. I don't even focus for the game. I remember the last time I watched the full game. It might have been 3 weeks ago. But, hey, I was interested by the game last night, though. They was playing. You know, AJ Terrell almost got a pick that iced the game. But we play good versus the Chiefs. But we will get dog walked by the Buccaneers next week. For what reason? I don't know why. But hey, it's just so much pain being a Atlanta Falcons fan. So much pain. I don't think anybody could just grief the pain as that 28-3. And now, but we got to rebuild the team, rebuild the fronts, rebuild everything. But I'm going to get out my rebuild mode. The Chiefs did secure home field and a bye with the win. They're looking pretty good, man. Whether they're down or up or dominating, they're going to come out with that win. And Patrick Mahomes is looking like the assassin that he is. And I think he's going to come up second in the MVP ranking over your boy, discount double check Aaron Rodgers. But hey, he is playing. He's gonna probably might throw for 5,000 yards this year. I think he's like 200 or so yards away. But hey, he's playing out of his mind. I think third, fourth year player in Patrick Mahomes, MVP, Super Bowl champion. And the Chiefs are looking like they might have a chance to come out to AFC. Back to the Steelers, man. They win an ugly game over the Colts to secure the division, 28-24. Guys, if you was watching that game, the Steelers looked disgusting in the first half. And I was just like, they're going to get blown out. Now, I just see them coming back, Juju catching touchdowns, Big Ben throwing it deep. You know, just defense kind of playing. You know, Phillip Rivers doing his usual choking. Insert the Reggie Miller choking pitcher. But come on, man. But if you're a Steelers fan, you should be scared, dog. Because you're going 11-0, and you start struggling. You're losing, and you win an ugly game over a good Colts team or decent Colts team, and looking like you're just gonna be a first round and done, and that sucks for y'all. But hey, Big Ben, I thought he was cooked, but he did throw a couple touchdowns. He did throw a deep touchdown this game, and I think some news came out on ESPN. Kind of a little insider information that he's been playing with a hyperextended knee the past couple weeks. But hey, I know that's kind of painful to move around. Maybe it might affect him throwing it deep, but he just got to get healthy. And Steelers, I'll tell Steelers fans this, and anybody who's listening, they're not going to win. You can't rush for 28 yards in the playoffs because it's going to get colder no matter what they play, unless they play a dome team. It's going to get cold. Defenses are going to tighten up on their passing games. They're going to tighten up on, there's not going to be many breakdowns. It's just going, who wants it more? Who wants it bad enough? And who is better that day? And they're not going to beat anybody. Even the freaking worst defense in the league. They almost lost to the Cowboys. So that should tell you something. The worst defense in the league at that time. And they're not rushing for more than 50, 60 yards. They had 28 versus the Colts, and that's just not it. Like the little pop passes, quick passes near the line of scrimmage for actual faking like it's a run game, it's not going to work. The offensive line is gonna have to play better, man. They really want to make some noise in the playoffs and they're gonna have to show something next week, and it's looking ugly. But hey, that's the Steelers for you. It's weird because you think of the Steelers, you think smash you, Franco Harris, Le'Veon Bell, big Jerome Bettis, big offensive lineman, just run down your throat and just play defense, play that Steel City defense. You know, we're tough, we're rough necked, but not looking good for you guys. Y'all got Steelers have to step it up in the next couple of weeks. Get it all glued together. But the TikToks do look nice, though. I give you that. And the primetime game, the Packers versus the Titans, had a dominant performance by Aaron Rodgers. He threw for 231 yards, 4 touchdowns, 128 passer rating. If you don't know what all that is, aka that is all good, man. And he is continuing his MVP season. He probably locked it in and iced it with that performance, throwing for 4 touchdowns, good passer rating, the win over the dominant Derrick Henry, King Henry Titans. They didn't let him run over all of them. They just kind of hit him with their own medicine. I seen AJ Dillon, big meatball, pounding them in that snowy ice game, just getting real dirty and snowy and cold, and just pounding you on that Wisconsin tundra. You know, that's gonna be their type of game, because I wouldn't want to go up there. I ain't trying to be cold and banging on AJ Dillon. He 230 running me over. What do I look like? Them folks got kids. Come on, man. But it's gonna be rough, and it looks like the NFC is gonna go through Wisconsin and Green Bay, and they're gonna have to bring their bells, because I seen people getting run over yesterday by running backs and everything, getting juked out. Aaron Rodgers smiling, and it's 12 degrees. But I gotta give it to my boy Discount Double Check and Aaron Rodgers. He's gonna win the MVP probably this year. But I have to give y'all a stat. If you're not listening, listen now. If Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP, and I think in NFL history or the past maybe 20 years, or no MVP has won the Super Bowl in the same season as winning the MVP. They have not gone on. Those who make it to the Super Bowl, they have not won. It's like 0-8 or whatever. They have not won. Matt Ryan, Tom Brady. Who was the last one? It was somebody. They haven't won. I think the last one was Matt Ryan. Oh, yeah, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and Tom Brady. They have not won. So that's interesting, bro. Will Aaron Rodgers break that? I'm not going to call it a curse. It's just a streak that no MVP has won the Super Bowl in his MVP season. Keep your eyes open for that. Remember who told you that? Jalen Harris. But speaking of the NFC North, the Bears are looking different, dog. I thought they was going to be butt this year. I really thought they was going to be trash. Now they're going to be playing better. They made a QB switch back to Mitch, money-making Mitch. And they're clicking right now. They're running the ball, play-actioning, letting Mitch scramble around, throw it around. Looking like he back at UNC, his freshman year. His rookie year when they went to the playoffs. But this is on coaching, and they're in the playoffs right now. They're in like a wild card 6 or 7 seed, but they're going to make the playoffs, and they can make a little noise, because as we know, that Bears defense can't click with Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Robert Quinn. What's another guy? Inside linebacker. Dang, from Georgia. I forgot his name. But anyway, they are good, and they can. Roquan Smith. And he, if they all glue together and play, and I mean, I'm not going to hate on defense, but it's just on the offense, and it's on the coaches. Get Mitch to his best feeling and use his strengths. And now this is also on Mitch. You can't throw 5 picks and say it's on coaching and they're doing the right things for you. You just have to get it together. Bootlegs. Bootlegs are when they run out of, it's like, if they're using motion with bootlegs, it's like the quarterback is moving to a side of the field and he's going to throw using his legs. You kind of get in a rhythm using bootlegs and get on the move when you're not a stationary type of quarterback. So using bootlegs, using sprint outs where you just sprint out and throw it to your first or second read. That's the type of guy Mitchell Trubisky is. He isn't like a standing guy, an Aaron Rodgers type of Big Ben, or Phillip Rivers just standing in and dart you. But he's kind of a on the run, dart you, or nobody's open, I'll take off and run. Kind of like a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. Even though Kyler Murray is probably a bad example. But the Bears can make some noise if they just stick to their guns and just bet on Mitch and bet on themselves. Now, in the offseason, there is critical, because I didn't think Mitch was going to be back when I was watching the Bears in this season, because he was looking pretty disgusting. Bad. Terrible. Like, why did you select him with a number 2 overall pick with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? Terrible. But I wouldn't want to be the Bears GM right now or owner, because you might have the franchise Mitchell Trubisky. And as I said, he has looked disgusting in games. If it was me, I'd just take my loss, chop it up, and move on to the draft. But as I say move on, we're going to move on to our next topic, man. NBA opening highlights. Excuse my neighborhood if you hear a garbage truck, but that ain't me. But the hardest, I want to say shout out to Nigel. Viewers, he actually gave, or we talked on Twitter this week, and he gave me a suggestion to talk about this in my episode. The Harden saga continues in Houston, with the Nuggets, Celtics, and Raptors still being the primary trade candidates for James Harden. Now, Harden in his game against the Blazers also dropped 44 points, 17 assists, going head-to-head in an action-packed game with CJ McCollum, which ended up being a loss to the Blazers. But hey, you God gave all he can coming off of quarantine, or not quarantine, just, I don't know. Yes, a mini quarantine that the NBA had to give him after he was spotted being in a strip club, so-called strip club, not strip club, supporting his sister, but it's strippers in there. But, you know, I got to give it to Harden, bro. I mean, you can't say nothing when he's out here dropping 40 after he comes from strip clubs. Yeah, they might not win, but he giving you a game. He going to put his work in. He going to, even though he look like a Rick Ross cousin, but he out there hooping, man. Step back three, bang. Assist. Nice assist to Christian Wood. I don't know if he's dealing with his teammates, but he is hooping, man. And the Blazers did come out with that win, but we're going to talk about this trade. If the Nuggets trade with James Harden, I don't really see a benefit in that, because you're probably going to give away Jamal Murray, maybe another piece and some picks. And you're losing your young star. And James Harden is, guess what, probably like 31, 32. So he has about four years left in his body at maybe 30 through 28 point a game. Play. And James Harden, he has improved on defense, but the Nuggets are already terrible on defense. So you're adding a player who's not a Kawhi Leonard, who's not a Paul George in defense. Don't get me started on Paul George, but in defense, or maybe like a Patrick Beverley, like that defender mentality, like lock you up mentality. You're going to lose. I mean, it's going to be a shootout. I don't really understand it. The Nuggets have already lost a good wing defender in Jeremiah Grant and Torrey Craig this year. And when I say a wing defender guard is like the shooting guard in a small forward position, or maybe even the four. No, not the four, but the kind of the shooting guard in a small forward position. And you can add the four in there. Who cares? But they guard those positions, and they're like a wing defender is just – like they guard LeBron, they can guard KD, they can guard Kawhi. Those give you a visual of like what I mean by a good wing defender. So those two are gone, and those are two big keys in the Nuggets defense, which kept them kind of out of terrible level in the range of defense, of analytics and numbers and all that. It really kept and really played a pivotal part in that playoff run. But if Houston does actually send James Harden to the Nuggets, they get Murray. They get Murray and a couple pieces and picks. I believe it helps the Nuggets. I mean, not the Nuggets, the Rockets, because you get that young star to go with John Wall. I really hope he's recovered, because I want him to show everybody he can still play in this league. You get John Wall, pair him up with Boogie Cousins. You got the shooter and Jamal Murray. That looks like a nice team, bro. We're not talking about championship, but if you can ever fill the seats in Houston, maybe in 2022 or later in 2021. That looks like a nice team, bro, because I would like that. I would watch Houston games. You got John Wall slicing and dicing. Pass it out to Jamal Murray. He's shooting it. Pass it to Boogie Cousins on the block. He's shimmying for the layup, and he can also hit three. So that could be a building block. Get a young player in there. And you got Christian Wood. Who am I talking about? Christian Wood. He can average about 15. So you have them four. They're not big pieces, but the all-around pieces, maybe two big pieces in Jamal and Christian Wood, if he can step up to maybe like 18 points a game. But they can grow and they can be something. They don't be like, they're not a dumpster fire for the next half a decade or something until they rebuild. But that's kind of my view. And I say for the Celtics, don't do it, because if I was Houston, I'd be asking for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And they showed you, I know they just got bullied by the Nets, but they showed you going against Giannis, they can play and they can really give 30 on every given night. So I would say Celtics, stick to your young guns, but I just don't like their overall makeup of the team. I know they're missing Kemba right now, but they need like a dominant like post player to me. Not like a all NBA, maybe another all-star or just an all-star big or like below that all-star level. Maybe like a Christian Wood or just something, man. But the Raptors, I don't see Harden fitting in with them, because they're kind of like underrated, scrappy guys. They just give all their effort every night, or they don't really play that. They play like a team game. But if Houston does do it, but you got to give me Siakam, maybe OG Anunoby and like picks, or maybe for Fred VanVleet, but I don't see it for the Raptors either. But hey, you get it how you live, and stars do win the NBA, and you need superstars to compete for championships, and the Raptors know that by what they just did with Kawhi Leonard. Now, speaking of Kawhi Leonard, winning a championship with Kawhi Leonard. Now, speaking of Kawhi Leonard, he just got elbowed badly by Serge Ibaka with a sharp elbow to the face, and he was out for the game versus the, I can't remember who they was playing, but he was out for the game versus the Mavericks yesterday, and the Clippers got eviscerated by the Mavericks. Destroyed. They made history by being bad. They were trailing by 51 points at halftime, and they ended up losing, not 51, 50 points, and they ended up losing the game by 51. The only team NBA history be trailing by 50 and lose by 51. That's terrible. But I know Kawhi was out, but Paul George, you just dropped 33 against the Lakers. Excuse me? You're supposed to be an all-NBA player. Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, whoever else is on that team, Nicholas Batum. I know MJ want to throw hands with you, but that's another story. That was a trash game. I mean, I know y'all opening night champions, but y'all can't do that. Y'all got to show up. If y'all want to earn some respect from the media and say, oh, yeah, we were a better team than the Nuggets. The Nuggets not out here getting beat by 50. But, whew. You got to compete better than that, dog. Getting beat by 50? 50? But, of course, they'll probably be better when Kawhi gets back in there. He should be fine. He just had a mouth laceration and some bleeding in the game from that elbow by Serge. So, he's probably resting. He might sit out the next game, but he'll probably play the next game or in the next two games. And the Clippers should be, I guess, back to normal and not losing by 50 points. Ooh. But the Bucks have not won a game this season, I think. They have not won a game. They have lost to the Celtics, and they lost to Celtics and the Knicks. That's wild. And Giannis, if you haven't known, Giannis just signed a 5-year, $228 million Supermax contract with the Bucks. He was looking sad on the bench yesterday. Sad. So, they're not starting off the season well. They're really taking it to the chin. Then the Bucks need to reevaluate, just get it together. I'm going to take it easy with these NBA teams. We're going to take it easy, man. We're just going to chill. They just need to get back in motion. Maybe they're not clicking, but Giannis has to step up. He missed in the first game, he missed a clutch free throw to take it to overtime. And he's just talking about, we just didn't work. It just didn't work out this time. He missed a free throw. Come on, dog. MVP, back-to-back MVP. Supermax player. You want players around you. You have to step up. But they'll get it together eventually. But my Hawks are undefeated. Defeated. Undefeated. 2-0. Trae Young balling. DeAndre Hunter balling. Everybody balling. Now, I know we played the Bulls and somebody in the Memphis, but don't judge me. Let me have this. We undefeated. We in a certain matchup with the teams. We probably leading the East right now. You know, Hawks. Number one seed is ours, but the Hawks are really gelling. Trae Young is leading the team, dropping 30, 28, I think, the first night. Just balling, man. I hope he keeps it going, keeps gelling with the team, doesn't take too many shots. I feel like we shouldn't be a three-point team. Just have an offense, you know. If it leads up to threes, just keep flowing and don't get enamored with the three and just shooting it from half court or just having everybody take threes, so it's kind of inefficient. But those are my teams or my games for the last... Well, no, it's not. I am lying. We're going to go into my rookie spotlight. Anthony Edwards has been hooping, dropping 15 to 18 points in his first game, looking like the number one overall pick, hitting step backs on one leg, having funny interviews saying he can do anything, any sport, anytime for money, you know. But Anthony Edwards is looking like number one overall pick. And we'll go to our second player in our rookie highlight. We have LaMelo Ball. He's off to a bumpy start, dropping 0 points in his first game. He's up there with bad company. Who's that guy? Anthony Bennett and various other players had scored 0 points in their first game. That is terrible. But he did bounce back. I'll give him credit. 13 points in the second NBA game versus the Thunder. I think he had 9 points last night in the Hornets win over the Nets. Dang, the Nets is just on my tongue today. That's wild. But another rookie spotlight player. I say, guys, you heard it here first. Or maybe second. I got it from this guy at ESPN as well, but I kind of had the idea with him. Isaac Okoro, small forward from the Cavaliers. He's a possible sleeper for the Rookie of the Year candidate. If he comes on with his three-point shot and just will, I think the Cavaliers have them a player. Not LeBron, but a decent player. Maybe all-star type player. And he'll bring it every night and be focused. Now, speaking of the Lakers, they do bounce back from the Christmas Day loss to the Clippers with back-to-back wins versus the Mavericks. Now, I feel like I know people didn't jump off to a bad start with the Lakers, but they're going to use this first couple weeks to get in shape, get it back in playing shape, you know, get them abs. Because, you know, Marcus Saul looking pretty slow out there, but who am I? He could probably run faster than me. But they're going to get back in shape. They were playing beautiful the last two games. You know, dunks, assists, passing. The passing with Marcus Saul is immaculate because he can pass it out of the three-point line, really get out of the paint. So LeBron and AB, business is moving. But no, AD, Anthony Davis, can really drive and get into that paint. Now, Dennis Schroeder is a great acquisition by the Lakers. And I was a little hesitant on Marcus Saul because I really did like Dwight in there. But as we know, Dwight didn't choose to come back. But Marcus Saul is a great player, offensive player. We just hope he gets back into shape and kind of can stay in that Raptors form throughout the duration of the contract, which is a year. Now, another team I think will take a step this year is the Pelicans, possibly replacing Utah or Thunder spot in the 6-8 seed, or I think Utah was a 5th seed, but they replaced them in the playoffs because Brandon Ingram is hooping, dropping 20 points. Zion Williamson is hooping. He's in shape, not looking like Booger McFarlane, but he is hooping, in shape, really bringing that force. Lonzo is playing well. I would like to see him score more points I want him to get paid, but, you know, the Pelicans with Stan Van Gundy, or is it Steph? I think it's Stan Van Gundy. the bigger Van Gundy with glasses. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I might have forgot his name. But I think it's Jeff. But they are all playing well with Zion, and they added Steven Adams to really play that five spot and have Zion at the four. It's really gelling because I seen a play on Twitter where Steven Adams was setting a screen in the paint for Zion Williamson, and it looked amazing. because Zion Williamson doesn't really have that super handle and to really just create his own offense besides laying it up in dunks. And until he develops maybe like a mid-range shot, he would get like putbacks or effort or hustle plays. But they are playing. They are really getting after it. And Zion, Brandon Ingram is really taking that step that I thought he would with the Lakers, but he's taking it a step further with the Pelicans being in a different situation. And I like it. I like the Pelicans. I like their energy. I really will look forward to watching it. And it's going to be interesting to watch, man. And there were a lot of blowouts yesterday. The Cavaliers beat Philly by 20 points. The Knicks beat the Knicks. Oh, no. I forgot to mention this with Giannis, the Bucks. The Knicks beat the Bucks by 20 points last night. I think 130 to 110. The Cavaliers beat Philly by 20 points last night. Everybody's just getting blown out. I don't understand it, dog. I really don't. This is wild. Wild day. Wild season. I told you the weekend was wild. And you see by these blowouts and losses and wins by these NFL teams, it has been a wild, wild, wild weekend. Now, that was my last little bit for my sports stories for the week. If I remember anything, I'll blabber out today or in a few minutes. But I just want to, I'm going to talk about some different things outside of sports for the next before I end this podcast. Now, I've been talking to a few people and I feel like I just want to see if anybody listen to this and give me some feedback. What would they like to see me starting to record these podcasts? Because I'm starting to hear. Seeing like the listens is kind of stagnant and see maybe viewers and listeners don't want to just hear stagnant. Well, not, I guess just voice. Maybe they might want to see some visual. So I just want to see, let me know if you guys want to hear maybe create a YouTube and just post my maybe interviews and my episodes. Just maybe get that started up. It's going to take me some time to get some understanding, but it's really interesting and creative, but it'd be kind of difficult. Well, not difficult. I just have to download something and record myself because I am a student at Mississippi State University. But I would like to hear, you know, what you would like to see me hear, who you would like to have me on, because I could do my interviews online or record it off of my computer and have a visual and just, you know, record my episodes. But let me know if, you know, on my Twitter page at Huddle Harris or my Instagram _ Harris Huddle, you know, let me know what you guys would like to see, if you would like to see me record my visual. And, you know, I might not have a haircut some days, but, you know, hey, if you guys want to see see me record my podcast with a camera or on the webcam and just give you that visual look. And instead of just on audio. Now, I will still continue to do audio because I know a lot of people might like the audio. Maybe people in different countries don't have YouTube or something. But hey, I don't know. But I will continue to do that. And I just want to wish everybody a happy holidays. You know, happy New Year's. Enjoy yourself on New Year's Eve. Be socially distanced. Just watch out for the virus, man. I just want everybody to stay safe. And we just going to 2021, having new bright futures, great futures, and just having a great overall year and just having opportunities and experiences created with 2021. As I said, I'm going to keep going with this Harris Huddle page, and I'm going to keep trying to get it out faster, even though I do have a life. But I just want to say follow. Please, 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 please follow my Twitter page, Huddle Harris, and my Instagram page at _ Harris Huddle. Please, please, it's in the bio of my Anchor page. It's probably going to be in the description, but please follow it. Give me suggestions. Hit me up. Ask me to talk about these topics because I will implement them like I did in this episode. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you guys for listening all around the world. If you are even in the country, thank you for listening. And I am your host, Jalen Harris, and this is episode 12 of the Harris Huddle, and we are out.